Shalom liyudim, shalom la bnei noach, shalom l'goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Ches Bishvat, Parshas Bishalach, Tafshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 17 January 2016, webcasting from the last country in the world where Jew killing is legit. We had another one today. The details are sketchy. In Otniel, that's a Jewish community, a.k.a. a settlement south of Hebron. A Jewish woman, 40 years old, was at home with her children when a savage anti-Semitic Muslim barbarian entered and stabbed her to death in front of her children and then was able to leave. When the paramedics arrived, they said they saw a terrible sight. They tried to revive her but failed. There were, I think, three other attempts at murdering the chosen people today by murderously envious Ishmaelites. Bitter ever since their patriarch was driven into exile because he was seen by his father's wife and as potentially homicidal, perfectly capable of murdering her son to displace him. Ishmael surely was drenched in bitterness because as the firstborn son, he was entitled to more than the second son, but because he was such a wild ass of a 16 or 17-year-old, and this happened over 3,700 years ago, he was expelled from his father's tents. 2,000 years later, his seed managed to steal the Torah Sinai. As Sarah feared he would steal the inheritance of her husband Avraham from her son Isaac, he stole it and rewrote it and called it the Quran. Still, in every generation since then, it's been apparent to anyone with eyes in his head that the seed of Isaac was more civilized than that of Ishmael, more productive, more educated, gentler. And that Ishmael is a slave to his bitter envy of the Jews makes him hate them, for they make him feel inferior. So, besides today's latest dead Jewess, three other attempts were made to stab Jews, one at the Bahad Shalosh, third Bahad 3 junction in Samaria. There a Muslim tried to stab soldiers, but they shot him dead. Three other Arabs, I think, were discovered lurking in New Jerusalem itself, a deep inside it, really, in Kiryat Moshe. They were loitering outside a shul, a synagogue, during morning prayers, I guess waiting for people to come out. Thank God they were suspected and arrested and found to be bearing knives. Likewise, a female wild ass of an Arabian was also stopped in time at the western gate to Kiryat Arba, next to Hebron, bent on knifing. Still, we must thank Hashem for this current spasm of bloodlust by these barbarians is so mild compared to what it was 15 years ago. And there was actually great news last week, even more than it appeared at the time. It was definitely heartening to follow the Ezra Nawi story, the Breaking the Silence operative, pleased with himself for informing the PLO. PLO murderers of a land sale by one of their own to a Jew. Pleased that the seller was arrested, tortured, and murdered. It was an expose, a hidden camera, run by a patriotic Israeli graduate of a combat unit who had persuaded the BDS crowd. He was one of them. Well, it turns out, revealed in a piece that made me smile in Friday's Makor Rishon, this is only the beginning. It seems that this is the first leak to the media of such material collected by the Ad Kan organization. Ad Kan in Hebrew means, roughly translated in this context, this far, no further. Up to here, it means that. In reference to the dreadful BTS slandering the army of the Jewish people, Ad Kan is composed of and originated by a former combat officer in the top commando unit of the legendary Golani Brigade, one Gilad Ach, who, with other veteran volunteers like himself, insinuated themselves into BTS to expose these dissembling, traitorous Israelis of Jewish extraction. He said some of them were naive, but others real bad actors, Jews of the extreme left, angrily opposed to a state for the Jewish people. And with money from abroad, they stage artificial confrontations with the army to videotape and, of course, try to make the army look bad in them. And they pay Arabs to do this. They pay them to throw those stones. Gilad Ach says that if not for BTS, organizing the months-long, even years-long now, confrontations at Bilin on Fridays, there would be no demonstrations, no rock-throwing. These are hired rock-throwers, paid for by BTS. And Ach makes the case that his organization is doing this to prod the army and the GSS to do something about such groups. He says that they have the GSS, and rightly so, a unit dogging the price tag boys, but none monitoring BTS and other groups who are troublemakers no less than the price tag adolescents. He also brought up the constant aggression in Area C via Euro-funded land grabs and the construction of new dwellings mentioned on this webcast last week. This was a separate news item altogether. The EU is cranking out more legislation against Jews living in Judea and Samaria, against Israel in general in this regard, as the EU simultaneously trashing the Oslo documents funds these incursions into Area C, which Oslo said was exclusively Israeli territory, as it had been since 1967. The nerve of these Europeans, the dishonesty. They are no more faithful to the Oslo documents than the savages they support, with these front groups called NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which is a blatant lie and deception. They're funded by governments, and therefore they most certainly are governmental agencies, belonging, though, to foreign governments that side with our mortal enemies. Anyway, the good news is that Ad Khan says the exposure of Ezra Nawi was only the beginning of presenting more incriminating material. And I say it's about time for Israel to gird its loins and indict BTS and other groups for collaborating with the enemy, which is a serious charge. This was the focus last week as well of Ad Khan's other video of Alon Liel addressing BTS and prodding the group to work to drive Israel out of the UN, as the Arabs want. This, by the way, led to another flap. Minister of Education Naftali Bennett, and not for the first time, opened his mouth and got into trouble. He, rightly horrified by Alon Liel's behavior, this former Director General of the Foreign Ministry, said in a radio interview, "I'm beginning to think that the Foreign Ministry has a problem in its DNA. There were always complaints about the Foreign Ministry. There is a profound problem with people like Alon Liel, who was at the ministry a long time. They ask where the hasbara, the public diplomacy, is. What hasbara? When you have the number one pyromaniac at the head of the system, what hasbara is there?" Close quote. Not surprisingly, the foreign ministry personnel took umbrage and declared they would have nothing to do with his education ministry until Bennett apologized, which he did. This is a case where telling the truth, as he did, was not worth the result. It's no secret that for years, Shimon Peres, several times foreign minister, ran that ministry like a private fief, whose staffers were Peres' proteges, Israelis as Hellenistic and de-Judaized as Peres himself. The other types are responsible for their own inability to enthusiastically, when abroad, defend the policy of every government since 1967 that Israel has the right to continue to rule in Judea and Samaria, so long as there is no serious prospect that a withdrawal would be beneficial. That, in fact, was tried, wasn't it, and failed miserably between 1994 and 2002. Tragically, for years, the foreign ministry has been staffed by Perizzites. Bennett knows this. Lots of people do, but opening his yap was counterproductive. And speaking of Perez, in the German weekly Der Spiegel, The Mirror, yesterday, there was an interview with him in which he agreed that Palestinian frustration over the absence of peace talks plays a role in the recent Jew-killing escapades with non-vehicular homicide. He said there should be two states, and the fact that there is not contributes to young Palestinians being against us. And Israel does not see the protest, only the killings. This man has once again proven himself to be Israel's national village idiot.
Ani tfilati le ואני תפילתי לך השם את רצון ואני תפילתי לך השם ואני תפילתי לך השם את רצון אלוקים ברוב חסדך אלוקים ענני באמת אשתך אלוקים ברוב חסדך אלוקים ענני באמת אשתך
השם את רצון
ואני אוהב אני תפילתי לך לשם
ואני תפילתי
לך השם את רצון אלוקים
Yes, Shimon Peres has once again shown himself to be a fool, the opposite of a wise man, a fool about people and about life. Politics for him and shallow leftists like him means having a beautiful dream and trying to make it come true, and never mind the misperception of reality and the impossibility of the dream and of history and of facts. He reminds me of how I myself stopped being left of center when I realized that the views and the policies on social and political matters of the left are intended, first of all, most importantly, to reflect well on the person who holds them. never mind the reality, never mind the possible result. The pose adopted is meant to show the poseur in a beautiful light. Perez went on in this interview, YNetNews.com reported it, to harshly criticize the Israeli government and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he rejected the accusations that Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is inciting to violence. Quote, "Abbas is a very courageous man. I met him many times and negotiated with him directly. He wants peace and he fights terror." This man, Perez, is so unsophisticated in his thinking, he likely is capable of recognizing the lunacy of a David Irving, the Holocaust denier, but not in this other Holocaust denier, in whom he sees a man of peace who fights terror. This is what he wants to see in him. This character, Abbas, has most definitely in Arabic indicated his support for the current fashion of Jew killing among his people. His PA has already declared the Israeli Arab who a couple weeks ago shot up that cafe, murdered three people, and then was killed by the forces of civilization. They've already designated him a Palestinian martyr. That's Abbas's PA, which they wouldn't do without his permission. Yet in Abbas, Perez sees an opponent of violence, a courageous man who wants peace. This is the same Abbas who has said he will never recognize Israel as the Jewish state. These leftists live in another reality as Muslims. The Muslims they support live in another reality, a make-believe world. The PA, as PMW reported this week, teaches its school children that Israel murdered Arafat. The same PA whose maps of Palestine and schoolrooms show no Israel at all. On Thursday in the Knesset, in the wake of the Ezra Nawi expose and Breaking the Silence and A Lonely Yale, etc., Jewish home MK Shuli Mualim Rafaeli, a religious woman, was tabling a bill to outlaw Breaking the Silence as an illegal organization, as the Islamic movement's northern branch was recently outlawed. Usually, an initiative like this comes from the defense ministry, not the Knesset, so this is something new. As part of the whole issue of this, these NGOs funded from abroad, M.K. Mualim Rafaeli said that BTS is a, quote, subversive organization acting to change Israel's policies not through the acceptable rules of the game in a democratic country, but by putting international pressure on to harm Israel, close quote. She and others, yours truly included, cannot stomach what BTS produces, which is presented as soldiers' testimonies regarding war crimes by the IDF in Judea and Samaria and Gaza, in which the alleged witness is never named, and the crimes are never reported to the IDF by BTS to investigate, which as good citizens they should do if they know of them. Instead, with these quite possibly manufactured statements, BTS goes abroad and smears Israel's soldiers as war criminals and reveals its true agenda, which is not eliminating IDF abuse, but driving 500,000 Jews from their homes, and the homes they have every right to live in peacefully. Of course, the left in the Knesset was outraged at this latest offense against democracy in their terms, like the legislation that Ayelet Shaked wants to pass. One Meretz MK Michal Rosen sneered, quote, "Stalin would be proud of this bill. This is relentless political persecution that endangers the lives of those who oppose the government's occupation policy and is an additional sign of Israeli democracy being replaced by violent fascism." He got that a bill to BTS for telling lies about Israeli soldiers and their alleged crimes is seen as violent fascism. Another MK, another woman, Ksenia Svetlova of the Zionist Union, the old Labor Party, sarcastically said that the right should copy the laws Saudi Arabia uses to kill people who speak out against the government. This bill is a danger to democracy, greater than the dangers that the right says Breaking the Silence pose. Close quote. How ironic, how psychologically projective, how the left disrespects the democratic right of the people to elect a government whose policies the people support, and does so in the name of democracy. This makes no sense. What's going on in the Israeli left since last week is they're being exposed for the enemies of democracy that they are. And so they respond like Arabs. When you accuse an Arab of some misdemeanor, he doesn't refute the charge, he accuses you of it. This is how the Arab mind responds. Call them terrorists, and they don't defend against the accusation by refuting the charge with reasons in fact. They throw the charge back at you and claim you're the terrorist. And here the left accuses the defenders of Israeli democracy of being a danger to democracy. I think Gilad Ach has got it right. The GSS and or IDF has got to go after BTS and Tayush and other NGOs like them as aggressively as they go after those juvenile delinquents and the price tag attacks. Prime Minister said on Thursday that Israel needs to do a reset with the EU in this regard. It has to do with Area C and the behavior there. He explicitly attacked the EU for funding illegal building in Area C in a clear attempt to create political realities in the West. Gilad Ach complained that the army and the GSS has done nothing about these incursions. We're under attack from many directions. The savages themselves with their knives, like today's murder and the other murder attempts that failed. The Europeans are our enemies. They support our attackers with cash and encourage them in their illegal building on land they have no right to. And then we have the Jewish anti-Jews like Alon Liel and BTS, who are just traitors.
Thank you.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, today was arguably the greatest day in the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama, this Muslim secret agent in the White House, who reached the pinnacle of his agenda. In his first inaugural address, he slapped the Jews in the face. In the next sentence, promised a reset with Islam. And the day after his first day in office, working as president, he called up the Holocaust-denying anti-Semitic murderer Mahmoud Abbas, his first call as president. Today was the culmination of Obama's goal of a fundamental change for America. And since the Jews were uppermost on his mind on Inauguration Day and his first day at work in the Oval Office, today was his crowning achievement. He has fundamentally changed America from being exceptional for its support of Israel to joining forces with Israel's greatest enemy. As the Europeans in their separate governments and EU bureaucracy and front NGO organizations provide the Jew killers here with funds, so Obama today released more than $100 billion to the Iranians. And it's no accident that Iran's President Hassan Rouhani, you know, that moderate, said this, quote, "In implementing the deal, all are happy except Zionists, sowers of discord among Islamic nations and extremists in the U.S. The rest are happy." And take note that in his list of the unhappy, the Zionists were first, uppermost in his mind. For him, this deal aims above all at Israel, as Obama made his first call as president to the Jew killer Abu Mazen. And Shimon Peres, the National Village Idiot, still thinks the violence here is about the absence of a state for the ancient Palestinians, who are entitled to one, oblivious to the religious dimension of this violence. So observers today continue to miss the centrality of the existence of the State of Israel in the minds and hearts of Arabs and Muslims around the world. The existence of Israel is the number one evil. And it is no accident that at the UN, where almost a third of the member states are officially Muslim states, the number one topic has long been Israel and its illegitimate existence. It's no accident as well that in the UN Human Rights Council, Israel is the only permanent agenda item. Israel is permanently accused of human rights offenses. The existence of Israel is for Muslims the number one crime against Islam. The very existence of Israel is experienced as a mortal threat to the religion and the Ummah, the world community of believers. So maybe it was a mildly soothing news that last night AIPAC called today a, quote, "dangerous moment for America and our allies," hint, hint. And it's AIPAC that I had in mind last week when expressing my hope that friends of Israel in the States begin the process of composing a sense of the Senate and a sense of the House resolution declaring that American support for any anti-Israel resolution in the UN Security Council, including abstaining in such a vote, will be disowned by the Congress of the United States. This guy Obama, like Abbas, like Rouhani, like all serious Muslims, is obsessed with the existence of Israel and is determined to destroy it, God forbid. This guy's a menace to the America. He has fundamentally changed because he fundamentally doesn't like it, and one of the things he doesn't like is its support for Israel. He will remain in office for another year and less than a week, and he must be prevented from carrying out his nefarious anti-Jew schemes.
Thank you. אמנם שחור לבושי, אך נשמה בתוך ליבי, זו נשמה של יהודי. אמנם יש כיפה לראשי, אמנם שחור לבושי, אך נשמה בתוך ליבי, זו נשמה של יהודי.
נשמה בתוך ליבי, זו נשמה של יהודי. אמנם אין כיפה לראשי ולא שחור לבושי, אך נשמה בתוך ליבי, נשמה של יהודי.
Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'aretz Yisrael.